Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School time. Welcome to those listening on the phone or to the recording, and glad to be in fellowship with you. And before we get into our study book of Desire of Ages, it's time for opening prayer. And who here would like to offer prayer, especially one of the youth?
If we could all bow our heads and bow our hearts and come humbly before the Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for getting us through another week. Lord Jesus, I pray that you be with T.T. Rosie and Joshua and the household, dear Father God, so that their internet may be sustained, so that they may be able to partake in the study. And Lord Jesus, also for Brother Joel Nahate, dear Father God, that is experiencing issues with the internet also. I pray that you sustain it so that they may be able to participate as well and to be in fellowship with us. Lord Jesus, please open our minds and our hearts and our ears and our hearts, dear Father God, that we may receive wondrous things out of your word of truth and inspiration. Please guide Elder Rob and give him the words to speak, your words to speak, dear Father God, and be with us and help us to hear your word and not just be hearers, but be doers, implement them in our lives, and more importantly, study them so that they may be a seed planted deep in our heart soil, that we may be a light to others, to teach others, to encourage others, to edify others until your coming. Forgive us once again for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known and unknown. Please don't give any way, dear Father God, that for the devil to come in and to abide and to win in any way, shape, or form, but help us to draw nigh to you and rebuke him in any way, with the thus saith the Lord. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. In no other name than Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And welcome, dear brother Norman. Glad to have you in fellowship with us on this beautiful Sabbath. We're continuing in our study book of Desire of Ages. We're in chapter 53, titled The Last Journey from Galilee. And we're at the top of page 488, to the paragraph that begins, Every Human Being. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Christ's mission was not to compel or force individuals to accept the truth that would lead to everlasting life, but to offer it to them, to invite them to accept Christ as their Savior and enter into life. But Satan, on the other hand, if he cannot induce you or entice you to follow his ways and commit sin or follow some false or fanatical doctrine, then he will have his agents begin using various ways to force you to comply. And he deceives religious individuals into believing that God approves of their force. And that, of course, led to the Inquisition and all kinds of torture and suffering, all under the name of God and righteousness, when in fact it was all satanic and had nothing to do with righteousness. But Christ also does not accept partial obedience. Just like with the sacrificial system, you could not bring half of a lamb and expect God to accept that because it wasn't a total or complete sacrifice. So the same with Christ. He cannot accept just half a heart. He will only accept a whole heart, willingly given to him, surrendered and sacrificed to him. That's all that he'll accept. No divided service. No divided worship. Our worship to God must be full and complete from a heart surrendered to him and abiding in Jesus Christ. So God accepts willing service. The devil forces you to serve him if you won't do it willingly. And so you can tell who is working for God and who is not working for God by how they exhibit their characters to others. If individuals don't go along with their plans, with their works, if they exhibit the spirit of trying to force them, then that obviously is not from God. If they exhibit a spirit of trying to encourage them to accept or admonish them to accept or warn them, then that is from God. Force is from the devil. Invitation is from God. So that's where we left off last time. And now we pick it up at the top of page 488. And you can find our study book, Desire of Ages, at our website at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. Every human being in body, soul, and spirit is the property of God. Christ died to redeem all. Nothing can be more offensive to God than for men, through religious bigotry, to bring suffering upon those who are the purchase of the Savior's blood. So every human being is the property of God, not the property of the church, not the property of some other human being, such as in slavery. We're the property of God. Christ died on the cross to redeem us from the slavery to sin, the slavery to the hard taskmaster who is the devil. He also died on the cross to redeem us from all prison houses, including churches. And nothing is more offensive to God than to bring suffering to those who will not go along with our beliefs. Because individuals are not bound to believe what we want them to. They're bound to Jesus Christ, not just because God is their creator, but because Christ died to redeem them from the devil. So we've been twice God's possessions by creation and redemption.
And he arose from thence and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. Mark 10:1. A considerable part of the closing months of Christ's ministry was spent in Perea, the province on the farther side of Jordan from Judea. Here the multitude thronged his steps, as in his ministry in Galilee, and much of his former teaching was repeated.
Amen, and thank you. So, Christ spent a lot of time in the coasts of Judea teaching the people. And as he went from place to place, a lot of times he repeated what he had taught them in the previous area. Now, when we read the Gospels, you sort of get the idea that wherever Christ went, he taught something completely different than he had done from whence he came. But if you pay attention, you'll find that the Gospels bring out that in different areas, he repeated the very same truths that he had done previously. So why was Christ repeating some of his teachings? I mean, all wisdom dwelt in Christ. He could have taught something new every moment of his life and still had plenty of material in store to teach others. So why did he repeat? Amen. Repetition is a good teacher. Amen. Maybe because that's what the people needed. Those that study the mind, the scientists that focus their attention on the wonders of the intelligence of beings, recognize that repetition is one of the best ways to take a subject and bring it into the memory so that it's retained. And Christ understood this. And so he repeated his teachings in various places, because he wanted these teachings to be logged into the memory and not forgotten. He also would connect his teachings of truth with a visual object that the people could look at. For instance, when he was teaching them on the mountainside and there was a roadway passing by and there was thorn bushes and there was wheat and so on, he taught them the parable of the sowing of the seed that fell among four different types of soil. When he was at the well just outside of the city of Samaria, and was the disciples had gone to the town to pick up some food and stuff and was coming back, and Christ finished his conversation with the woman at the well, and she left to go into the town to tell everybody about Christ being the Messiah. There was a bunch of field of grain. The heads on the grain were close to being ripe. And Christ told the disciples, "Say ye not that there's yet 4 months to harvest, for look on the fields, they're ripe to harvest." And about that time, the townsfolk were coming down the road to see and talk to Christ themselves. So Christ pointed to the things of nature and connected his truths with those subjects, with those items. And that helped the individuals to remember the teachings of Christ, because every time the disciples saw a field of ripened grain, they would recall what Christ talked about, that it's time now to harvest precious souls to the kingdom. We don't have to wait. Or when individuals saw seeds, grains of wheat or corn or whatever, sitting on top of rocks or by the wayside being trampled underfoot, they remembered Christ's teachings of those subjects. And dear ones, repetition will help us remember God's word of truth. Can you think of other ways to associate the truth with other areas and thus be able to remember them better? Amen. Putting scripture to music will definitely help us to remember it. Or reading out loud. Not only do you involve the sense of sight, but you also involve the sense of hearing, as well as the ability in a different part of the brain to recognize words and pronounce them. So you have sight, speech, hearing, and the intellectual property of reading all involved if you read out loud. And the more senses you can bring in to a particular area, the better your mind will be at remembering that. Amen. Or write them on index cards, and throughout the day when you have time, pull one of the cards out of your pocket or purse and look at it, read it, ponder it, put it back in your pocket, and try to remember what you read. Amen. Another comment says, I fell in love with scripture songs for that reason. Amen indeed. Are there any other thoughts? Amen. Amen. The greatest help, our Holy Spirit, to bring it to our remembrance. Amen. And that's a precious promise. When we need it most, the Spirit will bring it back to our memory. And that's one reason why the Bible is written the way it is. It is a textbook, but all the subjects are not put together in one chapter, and then the next chapter is a different topic, etc. It's all interwoven, here a little and there a little, throughout the entire Bible. So reading it just once doesn't, amen, it's like a treasure hunt. Reading the Bible one time just does not allow you to catch every bit of treasure that's there. It takes searching. It takes more than one perusal of the Bible. You have to dig into it. And as you study it, the Spirit will bring another verse to your mind that has a similar or the very same topic involved in it. And then as you're reading that verse and that light bulb goes off in your head, you then take the time to search out that other verse and compare scripture with scripture, and you'll get a more fuller understanding of that topic. And that makes the Bible fun to read, fun to study, because you're always able to learn something more. Amen. And mine too. A comment in the room, it says, it was one of my testimonies how blessed I was with reading the Bible. So when you look at the scriptures from the aspect of what am I going to learn today from studying God's word, it becomes an excitement. It's a joy to spend time reading the Bible because you're looking for something to understand more than what you did the day before or the last time you studied. It becomes an excitement, an interest. And you can imagine the smile on the face of the Holy Spirit when you enter into the scriptures that way. Lord, open my mind to let me see something different, something new, a greater understanding than what I had before. And God will indeed answer such a request. Amen. Another comment, it says, my mind and spirit was blown at how plain and clear it was to me, different that how, or than how I had received it before. Amen. So repetition is good. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
As he had sent out the 12, so he appointed 70 others and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whither he himself was about to come. Luke 10:1. These disciples had been for some time with him in training for the work. When the 12 were sent out on their first separate mission, other disciples accompanied Jesus in his journey through Galilee. Thus they had a privilege of intimate association with him and direct personal instruction. Now this larger number also were to go forth on a separate mission.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. So as Christ was continuing his teaching, more and more people were following him and accepting the words of life that he was bringing forth to them. And so he sent 70 of these followers of his, 2 by 2, out before him to different places that Christ was about to come to. And as the 70 went out and more individuals were accepting the teachings, preparing the way for Christ to come, then they all had the privilege of being associated with Christ, direct personal instruction from Christ. And then larger numbers were also to go forth on separate missions. So when they accepted Christ and learned of his truth, Christ put them to work. They were to go and share the truth that they already knew with others and thus prepare the way for and create a greater interest among the different places where Christ was to come so that there would be a greater interest among the people than otherwise. So then what about us here? We've come to a knowledge of the truth. What are we to do with this? The light has shone upon us. What are we to do with that light? If we try to hoard our light to ourselves, what's going to happen to it? What happens when you begin to smother a candle that's lit? It begins to go out. It doesn't get enough air to continue shining brightly, and it grows dim, and eventually will go out. So what's going to happen to the light that Christ at infinite cost has allowed to shine upon us if we don't allow our light to shine to others? If we don't share, amen, share the good news with others, what's going to happen to the light, to the truth? Self is going to begin to smother it. Self is going to rise up and put down the light until finally it goes out. And what we once accepted to be truth, we now believe is error. The light has gone out and now is darkness. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, it is an inspiration that keeps you sanctified in the Spirit. In other words, it's continual study of God's Word and practicing what you learn through the grace of the Spirit that leads to sanctification. Amen. So Christ put the people to work when they had learned his truth. And Christ is still trying to put his people to work now, today, who have learned his truth. So don't hide your light under a bed. Don't hide your light under a bushel. but put it on a candlestick so that it will shine to everyone around you. Let your light shine to others, or self is going to extinguish it. Amen. May the light in each of us continue to shine until that perfect day. And amen, that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." Amen indeed. Any other thoughts or comments?
When you mentioned that he sent out 70, he appointed them, I was thinking about the 70 elders around the throne of God.
There were 70 elders that were helping Moses with the children of Israel, but there's 24 elders around the throne of God. And those 24 elders around the throne are priests, but they're under priests because Christ is the high priest. So just as the 70 helped Moses and encouraged him, it's okay. The thought was the same as you were bringing forth. As the 70 helped Moses and sustained him and carried forward his instructions, so the same with the under priests, the under shepherds there depicted in the first apartment. They're to encourage and help Christ, the high priest, in carrying forward his work. And it's the same with each one of us. As followers of Jesus Christ, he has commissioned each one of us, or ordained each one of us, to let our light shine to others, to carry Christ and his truth out to all around us. So we are indeed co-laborers with God in this work, just as the 70 elders were co-laborers with Moses and the 24 elders or under-shepherds in the first apartment are also co-laborers with Christ, the high priest. So amen, dear sister. And what a privilege to be ordained by Christ himself to go forward as co-laborers with him in seeking to save the lost. Amen. It's an awesome job, and it's a great honor to work hand in hand with our Savior.
And Sister Joan, even in the new dispensation, you also saw that there's another 70 besides the 12 that also was sent out by God. So just as the old one, the new one also have the 70. But I wanted to share also is that I know sometimes it's very difficult. There's so many information that you would like to share with someone, but at the time, it's what the Lord wants them to hear at that time, just like spoonful. And the intimidation that you do have because of language barrier or you just don't know what, that's one of the things that you jot up a prayer at that very moment. And the Holy Spirit not only help us a lot, but even in our weaknesses, I always had a problem to be able to share the message. And the Lord gave me another way. I started to do things in charts. So like that, they can literally see and read for themselves, and it gives me a little bit of chance to kind of mount up a little courage. Meanwhile, they're reading, that they can be able to receive the message. The Lord gives us different type of talents that could be able to help us in aid us in different ways. Some people cannot speak in groups, but they can do better off in one-on-one. I am better off in one-on-one. Every time when I have to speak out loud, my whole nerves start to be able to come up. But just thinking about the scripture songs and I sing in my mind at the same time so I could kind of block out everything and just to share, because we don't know in what way any one of us can be able to reach any one of
the dear brethren, not only in the room, but those listening because of similar experience. So even though the nerves are there, just think about that there is a connection between any one of us with someone there that we need to be able to glorify God by what we have shared, experience, testimony, songs, in whatever manner. There's always different ways that we can share the gospel.
Amen. And that's a very good point, dear sister. There's a whole variety of ways in which the gospel can be shared, in which you can let your light shine. There's not just one way. There's a variety of different ways. And just like there's 12 different major characteristics that individuals fall under. Some are extroverts, some are introverts, some can speak well, some can't speak at all. As there's 12 different characters that we can fit under, so there's at least 12 different ways to reach those different characters. So whichever way works best for you to let your light shine, there's nothing wrong with following that way. And there's no reason that we need to envy someone else that is able to speak before hundreds of thousands of people without a problem. If you can just speak to one, then you're doing what you can. You don't have to envy someone else that can speak before a lot more. And if you just can't speak, if you're tongue-tied for whatever reason, you can still spread the gospel by passing out a tract. If you're having problems greeting people, then put a track out ahead of them. Like if you know that they're going to a bus stop, make sure that you get there beforehand and leave a track. Put one underneath the windshield of the car next to you when you go shopping. There's all kinds of ways of spreading the truth. And God will bless all of the different ways of spreading the truth. What he's asking you to do is let your light shine. And we won't be able to evangelize every single city in the world before the end will come. But if we don't begin to evangelize, the end won't come. So we have the distinct privilege and honor of either hastening the coming of Christ or the disgrace of preventing him from coming. And it all fixes on whether we let our light shine or not. I'd much rather hasten the coming of my Lord than to delay it. And thus I need to let the light that God has mercifully shined upon me shine to others. So go to work.
You know, I wonder if it's, I was reading the Gospel of John, chapter 6, where Jesus was saying, if you except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And he repeated that several times. And in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And I have to wonder if that was part of them, or at least were of the 70. Because Jesus said to the 12, would ye go away also?
You're absolutely correct there, brother. It was the 70 that went away, but the 12 didn't. And the reason the 70 went away, I mean, we'll probably find out here a little bit later, but The reason the 70 went away was because even though they rejoiced to learn truth from Christ, it was only to a certain point that they rejoiced. And when greater light came to them, they were unwilling to accept it. That greater light involved sacrifices that they were unwilling to make. It also involved spiritual insight, and they were unwilling to give up the literal and accept the spiritual. And so that greater light ended up winnowing out those that were not willing to advance in the light. They weren't willing to continue growing in understanding the truth. And truth does involve a sacrifice. It's God's way of testing us how much we love the truth or how little we love it. Those that grew up not knowing the truth about Saturday being the seventh day, the Sabbath of God, when that light came to them, they had to sacrifice in order to follow it. Perhaps the work that they were accustomed to working was on Saturday. Now, they had to give up working on Saturday in order to show their love for Christ in keeping the truth, following the way. And some lost their jobs because of it. But God recognized their sacrifice in remaining true to the light, and he opened a way for them to find a better job. And in many testimonies that I've heard, it was a job that paid more for less work. So, we should not worry about consequences. All we should worry about is following the truth. Because in following the truth, we're following Christ. We're manifesting our love for him. And God is well able to take care of whatever consequences come because of our choosing to follow the truth. So truth involves a sacrifice, and that sacrifice will continue to increase with the greater amount of light that God mercifully shines upon you. But what a privilege, what a joy to be set free from error, from custom and tradition, from bondage. What a joy to follow the truth as it is in Jesus. So regardless of the consequences, it's a joy to follow the one you love. Just like with Ruth and Naomi, it was a joy for her to sacrifice.
I just wanted to touch upon what Elder Rob said. When the gospel came to me, I was working in Wall Street, and I had to make a decision concerning my job or the truth that I have. Can anybody hear? Okay, praise the Lord. I had to make a decision between my job and the truth that that came to my knowledge. And I had to make a decision, so I literally quit my job. And I just needed some more time to study because I felt that I was late. When the message came to me, it was actually the third angel's message, and they were preparing for what we call the Lord Cry. And I just felt that I just was so late coming in, and I needed the time to study to find out what can I do to be saved. So when I left my job, I also left the country because I needed to have some time to be able to spend some time with the Lord. But when I came back, the Lord gave me a job that was only a block away from where I was. I went from a nice second floor apartment, and I ended up in a little room that I only had to walk 2 blocks to go to the new job, and on top of that, it was paying me more than I was getting paid when I was in Wall Street. So even though that it was a very hard thing to do, I was very much more worried about my salvation than how to be able to make my ends meet. After that, I had to leave even that job because of there were so many different people that was coming for information, and it was not enough time to sit with them. So the Lord impressed me to go to my boss and tell her that I had to make a decision between her job and the job I had to do. And I was afraid that she was going to say, well, you're going to have to go. But at the contrary, she said, okay, you could go ahead since you have all your work done. But I had to do the part where she will actually give me the opportunity. I make sure all my work was done by Thursday. So she told me, well, you don't have to come in on Friday. So by not coming in on Friday, I was able to open that little room as a place where everybody can come and sit and view the videos that was sent, not only for Let There Be Light Ministry, but different things that was coming into my reach. And many were coming in, and I didn't have no chair or anything like that. They just sat on the carpet and had 2 VCR. While one was playing, the other one was copying. And as they were leaving also with the copy with them. The fearful thing is when I started to see a lot of people come into the house, and they was coming with chairs, and I was wondering where the chairs was coming from, because this is not necessarily a church. And I was afraid that the landlord saw all the people coming in and I was going to lose my place. But at the contrary, the Lord even gave him an understanding heart, and I was able to tell them, no, you don't have to come with the chair. And the people that was coming in the room was actually 7 days Adventist. But when they was coming in and they was hearing the message to come out of her, this is when I was actually being told that I was at Davidian, and I didn't even know what that was. And then later I found out what they were. So a lot of the children from the Seventh-day Adventist churches was coming in and sitting, listening to the third angel's message. But then the parents was told by the leaders of the churches not to send the children, because a lot of them was coming out of the church. So we don't really know how the Lord are going to call us. And as simple as you just want to be able to do the right thing, the Lord will also aid and it will also help. And eventually I lost the place. I lost the job. But praise God that I'm now full-time doing the ministry, and the Lord has been taking care of my son and I for 18 years. So just have the courage to just trust God. Sometimes when we become children and allow God to lead us, it's very difficult because we need to see something physical to do it. But when we let go and allow God, you will see all of the different.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you for your testimony. And it's that first step that's the hardest. Trusting God and taking that step in faith is the hardest. You know, we want to see where our foot's going to land. That's just human nature. We want to make sure that we're not going to fall. But that's not by faith if you can see it. It's just like with the Sabbath truth. In taking the stand on the side of God's Sabbath day, that's a step of faith. You don't know what your boss is going to do. You don't know if you're going to lose your job. And the devil's going to be there presenting all kinds of embellished thoughts to your mind of terrible catastrophes and loss of your home and your family destitute out on the street if you stand up for the Sabbath. And out of fear of what may happen, a lot of people refuse to take the first step. They want sight. They want to know that their job is secure before they take the step. But Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love casts out fear. So here's now the battle between showing supreme love to Christ or love to self, stepping forward in faith in Christ or refusing to move forward in faith but wanting to go by sight, which is self. And those who step out in faith are going to allow God to marvelously work in their behalf. Just like with the children of Israel in the Jordan River, God said, go forward. They had to put their feet in the water, taking that first step, before God's miracle-working power came through and parted the Jordan River and allowed them to gain the victory, all from that first step of faith. That Jordan would have never been parted. They never would have seen God's manifestation of his miracle-working power in their behalf if they refused to take the first step in obedience by faith. So let your light so shine before men. And there's more ways to let your light shine than passing out a tract. You can let your light shine in good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it's not just by sharing the truth that we share our faith. It's also by our actions. So go to work, my dear brothers and sisters, and let your light of Jesus Christ shine forth and thus hasten his return. Amen. That's a good comment, good understanding there. The chat room is a reunion of believers by faith and not by sight. So praise God for bringing us out of Babylon, digging us out of the pit of error, of darkness, and setting our feet on the glorious rock, Christ Jesus, the light of truth. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy development of the plan of salvation. Thank you for thy great infinite love. Thank you for manifesting this love for us by sending Jesus down to be our substitute, surety, sacrifice, redeemer, sanctifier, and mediator between God and mankind. Thank you, Savior, for showing us the way, for being the truth, and for granting us eternal life. Thank you for dying to set us free, to grant us life, taking our place so that we would not have to suffer the second death, and bringing us to the Father. Thank you for thy great love for us. And please plant your love in our hearts that we may love you supremely, that we might love the truth, that we might follow it in faith, and that we might behold thy wondrous works and miracles put forth to deliver us, to save us, and to preserve us until your coming. And thus be able to give you more glory through our testimonies of how you worked in our behalf when we stepped forward in faith. Please continue to dwell with us and open our understanding to behold more of thy glorious light of truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.